Been praying for you, thinking about you, and excited that we come to this season now. We're going to focus on hearing God's voice. So important. I don't know how much setup I need for this, right? We all need to hear God's voice. There are some places in our life right now that we need to hear from God. And so I want to encourage you that sometimes, especially in just kind of religious thought, but not really knowing God, we think that, oh, that's for somebody else. Somebody else can hear the voice of God. The pastor hears the voice of God, the missionary, the prophet. I want you to hear this morning, Jesus died to renew your relationship with God, and part of a good relationship is talking to each other. And it's not just you, it's not just you talking to God, it's God speaking back to you. And so no matter if you are 89 years old or 8 years old, when you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you in such a way to hear his voice. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on God's people. So it wasn't just by law and it wasn't just by a distance. Now God's very presence is with us. And so as your friend and as your pastor, this time going into the summer, where I want to encourage each of you that you can hear God's voice, I think it's very, very important. Right now, our service is, I'm speaking in English, and as well, it's being translated right now in Spanish. And together, even though some of us are used to hearing God's voice one way, we're used to thinking and hearing words a certain way, God wants to tune all of our hearts to understand what he is saying to us. And so that's what this series is going to be about. Now, on a very practical level, let me just say this. Your life is only as good as the voices you listen to, right? My past is a product of the voices I chose to listen to and act on. My future is dependent on whose voice I choose to trust and focus on as I go forward. All right? We've all been in the place where we listened to the wrong voice and ended up in the wrong place. Yes? All right? Hopefully, we've all had that moment when, by the grace of God, we listened to the right voice and we ended up in the right place in life. And so this idea to hear the voice of God is so important because you and I were created to hear the voice of God. We're created for it. And if we are distant from God or have never known him, or if we believe we cannot hear from him, then we fill our lives with other voices to make up the difference. Because every one of us still need the voice. We need a voice to speak life and direction and wisdom into us. Did you know that according to, by the end of last year, the average American adult is online 11 hours and 6 minutes a day. 11 hours and 6 minutes a day. 11 hours, I'm looking for some voice, some message, something that will make me laugh, make me feel better, give me wisdom, give me some good news. I am built to want to find that, and when I don't have the quality of his voice, I take the quantity of the world. But it doesn't do me good, does it? It doesn't lead me well. We've got all these voices. May the Lord have mercy upon your soul if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is turn on Fox or CNN. If that's your first voice in the morning, you're going to be a nasty person all day long. Because that is not going to start you well. If that's the first voice you listen to in the day, there's no way. Because the voices we listen to determine our life, determine our day. And I'm so thankful that there's another voice besides the world's. There's all these voices saying, this is how you should live. This is what you should think. This is what you should be upset about. This is what you should be outraged about. I Googled the idea of many voices. Here was the number one quote that I ran into in my Google search. It says, "Listen to your own voice, your own heart. Too many people listen to the noise of the world instead of themselves." Good old Leon Brown. I have no clue who he is. All right. Now, I agree with Leon in one sense. Don't live your life comparing yourself to everybody else. All right? But I tell you what, I super disagree with this overall idea, like big time. Contrary to Disney, I should not listen to my own heart. Because according to Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Right? In other words, I have a sinful nature. Use the word selfish instead of sinful. I have a selfish nature. It is natural for me to think and do things selfishly and think they're good. That seems like a great idea. Not really, Sean, in hindsight. No. See, this is not the voice I want to follow. And the world says, if you're not going to listen to all our noise, just follow your own heart. Follow your own sinful nature. I would suggest, instead of following my own heart, I should follow the one who created my heart. Because this whole series is based on the truth that Jesus said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep know me, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Don't follow your heart, follow the one who created your heart. Follow the one who, and I want, again, you, not the person next to you, not the person on stage, you can hear his voice. Because Jesus died to give you that renewed relationship. There are usually three reasons why someone doesn't hear the voice of God in their life. The first is they don't think they can, right? They just, "Oh, Pastor Sean, you could," or the Pope, or some priest, or, but not me. Well, we're going to look at Jesus' life and teaching over the next few weeks, and we're going to find that that's not true. Now, obviously, the other one is, I don't want to hear your voice. I want to do things my way. So I'm not interested in your voice because I'm only interested in the voices I'm already hearing. So we've got to decide that we need to hear his voice. Another one is, we don't know how to distinguish God's voice from what we're feeling, right? That's usually the biggie. It's like, how do I know if that's God or the fact that I really want a pepperoni pizza right now? Like, what is that me or God saying that right now? So we've got to learn to distinguish between the two of those and what the world is selling us, because the world says, oh, this is the way that life's going to be better. Well, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to cover the six ways in the Bible God speaks to people. And through that, you're going to begin to understand the difference between what you feel and what God says and how to verify it. And so I think it's just going to be an amazing time together. What we want to do is, it's called Summer Prayer Journal. And we know in the summer you're going to do some traveling, you're going to be out. And we wanted to do something as a spiritual family that we could all continue even when we're not here. So what we're asking all of you to do is to go and invest $15 in your spiritual lives this week and buy a journal. And if you don't want to invest $15, I've got about 1,000 extra spiral notebooks that my kids didn't use from school. I'll give you one, okay? And what we're going to encourage you to do is, over the next few weeks, start following and recording what God is saying to you and what you think about that. Now, again, some of us are personalized. I'm not a big writer. And that's fine. You don't have to have a certain personality for this. But here's what I want you to hear. This right here, the Word of God, this is the story of God with the entire world. Amen. This is God's story with me. And this story matters. Your story with God matters. And you're going to walk through some times, as we're going to talk about, where sometimes it's going to be important to look back and remember what God said. Some of us, you know, Satan began the process of our own self-condemnation, and now it's just running on its own. And we forget what God says to us yesterday, and we fall right back into those negative thought habits. And we need to get a little, we need to ask God to give us a little grace and discipline to go back and say, wait a minute, this is what God told me. And I'm not going to move from that. So would you invest in yourself a little bit and your relationship with the Lord? Go out, get something. If you bring your journal next week, we will give you a really cool sticker to put on it. Okay? I'm just saying, it's coming. And we'll also, every week, we'll walk you through, okay, this week we're going to look at hearing God's voice this way. You can put your notes in here if you want. We're also going to give you some things to pray about every week. And we're just going to take this summer and we're going to practice hearing God's voice and recognizing that God's promises and his goodness is not just for the other person. It's for you and your family. Amen? You excited? It's going to be so good. Now, Jesus modeled the life in which he was always hearing from God the Father. As a church, we're reading right now in the Gospel of John. And if you've been paying attention several times, Jesus is saying, I'm only saying what the Father in heaven has told me. He modeled a life for us. Sometimes when we first come to God, we think Jesus came to earth just to forgive us of our sins, to go to the cross, sacrifice his life. That's true. But he also came to show us a model of how to live every day. All right? That's why fully man, fully God, teaching us this is what it looked like. And then he taught that we should be listening to his voice every day. And so we want to do that together. So to begin this series, and I try really to do every series with the beginning of the life of Jesus because we're a Jesus-centered church. He's the model. And so I want us to look at Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. We're going to skip the genealogy, and then we're just going to look at the very next story. And you are going to notice that Jesus has there's extremes in these two stories. In one story, the voice of God is clear as day. And in the next story, God's voice is nowhere to be found. That's Jesus we're talking about. And through it, what I want us to do is I want to look at basically what I'm calling, for lack of a better way to say it, the three voices of God. How we'll hear him directly in our everyday life. So, Luke chapter 3, you're either turning to it or turning on your Bible so you can see it. And let's take a moment before we read to remember the gift of this book we're about to read. This is the Word of God. And so we're not reading it. This is not like anything else we ever read. Because the Spirit of God brings through this the life of Jesus to it. So just before we read it, would you just take a moment to have some reverence for what we're about to hear together? Let's position our hearts. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and note, he was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Now skip down to chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, this is the very next story, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. That's some of your life verse right there. He was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, this is going to be really important, Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4, we're going to read it a little later, verse 3, where it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus has a very key understanding of how to live everyday life. If you would, just go over to Luke chapter 5 and look at verse 16, a really simple, short verse. This is the other voice that Jesus heard often. It says, but Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. It's just a kind of quiet, everyday experience of hearing God's voice. So we're going to look at these now, but let's pray now that we've heard the word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray for each of my friends here as well as those online. You have drawn us to this day to hear this word because you want to lead us every day with your word. Lord, break the lie that we wait once a week to hear from you and show us how we can hear from you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So, three voices. I've kind of termed them a certain way. Luke 5:16, and really in Luke 3:21, we see this, Jesus just has this ongoing prayer life, okay? I call it God's everyday voice. It's just God's everyday voice. It's time when God speaks to us, and nothing earth-shattering is happening. We're not changing the world that day. We're just something maybe in us is just changing just a little bit, and nobody's really noticing. We may not even know why that word was important that day. Then we've got this big picture, and this is the one we love. And we're Americans, right, in terms of the American culture. The American culture loves the big day voice, when God booms, when just everybody knows exactly what God's saying. And Jesus has a few of those days. But as we're going to see, there are a few of those days. And then there's what I'm going to call God's best day voice. And that's when Jesus is getting tempted and he's having a basic issue in his life. He's hungry. And people around him have food, but he doesn't have food. And it's going to be pretty tempting to decide what to do. And God's voice is not booming in that day. A matter of fact, God's voice isn't anywhere to be found, but Jesus has a certain way to handle that moment that you and I need to pay attention to. Because most of us in our American culture, or even in our just own selfishness, we think this is our worst day, and yet in Jesus, all his best days were here. Look at his life. We're going to look at it together. Really, really interesting. So, God's everyday or quiet voice, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is by far the voice Jesus heard the most while he was on earth. The scripture is very clear that Jesus was always going into prayer. He was always taking that time. Now, we look at that voice, and again, we're kind of like, let me have the big voice. Let it boom. Let everything change in a moment. There are some moments like that in our life. You can believe for those. But by and far, God's going to speak to you when we choose every day to make some time to hear. Okay? Just every day. Now, this is, and next week I will go over this. That's where this comes in. This is where God's word is just, I'm not changing the world today, but there's something that God is saying to me that I need to hear. And I don't even maybe know why that was that important today, but God's using it in a way I don't realize. Now, I just want to share with you, this is how I do this every day. I try to take some time, and you'll notice on the back of your sermon outline, the church reading plan. And I would invite you to jump on in. Right where we are, you can start in John. We did John 15 today, all right? And I'll start there. Now, some of us in this room, we don't like it being that organized, you know? We're more of a boom, that's where I'm reading. Yeah, okay. But here, I want to invite you to consider for this summer to do it in a way that brings you a little bit more unity with the congregation. And also, I would encourage you, gives the congregation a chance to affirm what God is speaking to you more. So here it is. I read the passage for the day. Today is John 15. You know, he is the vine, we are the branches. We can do nothing except we're connected to him. I'm reading that. God's speaking to me about things. I'm like, oh God, do I really have to give that up? And I'm reading about God prunes things. I'm like, ugh, yes, okay, that's good. I need to remember that. And I just read it. And here's what I do next, though. I will look for the footnotes of what scriptures are being referenced. And I'll start flipping around. I'm like, oh, that's in Psalms. And I'll just jump over there for a moment. I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And maybe as I'm thinking a little bit more, I start thinking about the idea of like, oh, yeah, what's that verse about where God calls and he answers? And then I use all of my seminary training to go to my Bible app and hit search. And I type in the words call and answer. and hit search. And then I find that verse. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really, and I look at that for a second. And then I go deep into all my Bible knowledge, and I go, hey, Siri, what are some scriptures about God's healing? And I get a page, and I look at that, and I go, huh, and I look over at the scripture, oh, and then something starts to come together for me. It's like, I think that's God's word for me today. We all can do that, right? We don't have to have a PhD in Bible to do that. Matter of fact, I would submit to you, your intimidation of the Bible is actually spiritual warfare. Because that's what the enemy does. He intimidates you. And I would just say, walk right through that. Just start reading. Just let God work. And so last week, we're in John, and somehow I end up in Proverbs chapter 11. I'm not even sure how I got there. And I just feel like God is reminding me of this one verse. It's verses 24, 25, and 28. It says this. I wrote it in my journal. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing to others will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Whoever trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. I'm like, yeah, in the world I live, I don't hear that very much. I probably should hear that again. And then that night, I get a call from someone close to me who we're kind of working on relationship. Not everything's great. You know, trying to rebuild. And I get a request for money. This is basically my response to that. Because I probably, in my own wisdom, like, oh, this. And then God's like, what did I already tell you? Oh, yeah. Non-issue. Okay. And I do what God asked me to do. That's just an everyday moment. Just an everyday moment. God giving me the word so that as I run into what I, in my own personality, would tend to not obey or do right. It's like, no, I already told you about this. Look. This summer, for all of us in this room, let's do this. Let's allow God, let's follow the example of Jesus. This was the voice he heard most. Now, we all love the big day voice. I mean, that's why we pay money to go to conferences and hear speakers, right? And big days are part of a relationship with God. They're big days. My salvation, the day Jesus spoke to me and said, you need to go find freedom and stop hiding it and go to be with God's people. Small groups coming up, right? All right, I'm going to do it. The day God starts talking to me about our purpose, we've been in the middle of the legacy series, and God's been speaking to a lot of us about the purpose we have that's supposed to go on beyond our lifetime. The day I finally step in and serve in the Jeff Davis corridor, in the community, in my church, the big day, and God says, hey, you can do this. Man, we love big days. Jesus had a big day. It seems like everybody heard from God that day. Everybody was together, and God just showed up and spoke really loud. Those are good days. But there are two really interesting facts if you study the big days, the big voices, the time God was super loud, God used his outdoor voice, right? Let it fly a little bit. Do you notice, if you study all of the times that the big voice came, almost always Jesus says afterwards, that was for you, not me. Go look at it. Look at John. I mean, if you're reading John right now, every time people are like, was that thunder? What did God say? Jesus says, that was for your sake, not mine. In other words, Jesus didn't depend on this voice. Wow, there's a thought. Okay, here's the other thing I find really interesting. Every time Jesus has a direct confrontation with Satan, this voice is never there. That strikes me as odd. I would think the biggest moments should have the biggest voice. But when Jesus is in the wilderness, face to face, toe to toe with Satan, God's voice isn't anywhere to be found. That strikes me as really interesting too. A matter of fact, if you look at each moment, that is probably what I will call the best day that Jesus has on earth, they're all like that. No big voice. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, hey God, I know we've talked about this a few times. Anything new you want to tell me? Is there any way maybe I don't have to do this? Nothing. On the cross, my God, why am I not hearing from you? Why have you forsaken me? Best day. Best day for you and me. Best day. Do you notice that? That every best day of Jesus, yeah, interesting. And could it be that we, when we feel like God is not speaking, and we're in a place where we don't understand, like Jesus is hungry. This is not a complicated thing Jesus needs. I need some food in my life. In that moment, God's voice seems silent, but it's because God's doing his very best work. If you study the ministry of Jesus, it's this day that he gains authority over the enemy. So everything past this moment, when a demon shows up, what does Jesus do? Dude, already beat your boss. Go away. That's what that is. Best day for his ministry was the day that God didn't say anything and Jesus hung on to what he already knew and decided, I'm still going to stay where God wants me to stay. Because what's the temptation? Did you notice the temptation of Luke chapter 4? Hey, Jesus, Satan speaking. Hey, Jesus, since you've had some big days and since you're supposed to be the Son of God, why don't you just tell God the way to do it? Don't go talk to him. Don't go listen for what he wants. Why don't you just decide for yourself and just go do it? Why don't you command these stones to become bread? We don't need to talk to him about that. This is a gimme, right? This is mulligan, just like, yeah, I mean food. Jesus, I'm the Son of God. I just heard him say a little while ago, he's well pleased to me. I don't need to talk to God about this. I won't wait for his voice. Why don't I just go do it? And what does Jesus respond with? Jesus responds with Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's right in your notes. And Jesus says, No. No, Satan, we're not doing that. I'm not doing anything without hearing his voice. That's what Jesus says back. All right? Notice Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. This is when the children have come out of 40 years of being in the wilderness, and they're about to go into the promised land. And what does God speak to them? God says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today. Follow along in your notes online too, you can have it. So that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you. Some of you should be circling these words. In order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. God was doing something new. You wanted the old way to do it. God was saying, I got something new to show you, to teach you, if you can read it out loud with me right now, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what, when Jesus says, no, man doesn't live by bread alone, he's quoting that verse right there. He knows. It's a nice try, Satan. I know, no. I'm going to wait and hear from him. I'm not just going to do it my own way. And I'm telling you, a lot of us, and literally sometimes there are whole churches that get built around the idea of just name it, claim it, and the idea of I've got authority. I'm like, you got authority. You don't have sovereignty, though. Only God has authority. So you got to listen to his voice because you don't know the new thing he may want to do in this moment. And so what you should do is when God's got you in a best day moment, and in a moment I'm going to define that a little bit more for you, hold on to the everyday voice. Just Hold on to what he's already said. So I wrote it a few different ways. Your best day is when you trust God's everyday voice of the past, when God seems to be silent in the battle and unmet need you're facing in the present. You know, God could have spoke and just told Satan to flee in that moment. But there was an authority that Jesus was supposed to walk in. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, we've been giving authority over this world. We're to represent him to the world and his plan for the world. And let me ask you this question. As a parent, if you're in a healthy place, let me just do it for a minute. When I'm in a healthy place with my kids, I am the most silent when I am the most confident they already know the answer. That's when I'm the most silent. You already know the answer. Go live it out. But won't you maybe, hey, you can do this. Go do it. And I want you to realize that sometimes God is silent because he wants us to have a best day. He wants to say, this is the day you break that. You already know. You know the answer already. Walk it out. I don't know if I, come on. I'm telling you, there is a loving Father in your life and in mine. And sometimes what seems to be silence is God's certainty that you've already heard the word. And you're battling, right? You're battling a little bit. Do I want to do this? Do I want to do this way, God? Now, sometimes I don't hear God's voice because I don't want to hear God's voice. You know? Oh, Dad, did you tell me to go to bed 6 times already? I didn't hear you. You know, we've all been there, okay? Yeah, no, I used the megaphone last time. How did you not hear me? All right, we've all got a little selective listening. So sometimes the first thing we should do is, Lord, forgive me for not listening. To be honest, I wasn't very interested in finding out how you wanted to do it. I was just going to command you to do it my way. Right? It's like, no, God, forgive me for that. You do it any way you want. I'm yours. I want to go by your voice, not my own. Then there are sometimes, though, it's like, hey, Sean, we already talked about this. You already know the answer. Well, tell me again. Nope. How about you follow? Oh, okay. That's what the Lord does in our lives. And I think this is incredibly important. Your best day. Your best day is when you don't hear the voice of God and you say, what I already know and what he's already said, that's what I'm going to do, Satan, no matter how easy your solution looks. That's your best day. Most people want to hear from God in big moments and not focus on his voice in daily life. That's a religious model. I go to somebody, they talk to me for a little bit, and then I just figure it out my own self for 6 days, and I go back and hear from God again. That is not what Jesus died to give you, all right? They want to hear from God in big moments, then they don't want to hear from him, or they don't think about hearing from him in daily life. They are unprepared for the moments of greatness and glory God is calling them to. So that's why this summer, we're going to take this, we're going to talk about some other ways God speaks. Say, God, just start, let me hear your everyday voice. Your best day is not God's booming voice from heaven. It's the day you trust him when there seems to be no voice at all. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. I'm telling you, it's your best day. That's when you'll break through to permanent victory and leave a legacy that lasts beyond your life. I wish I could say it 7 other ways. That's it. Okay? Why does God seem to be silent sometimes? Because he's already talked. He's already spoken. Jesus in the garden. Father, if there's any other way to do your will, because we've already talked about this and I know what your will is, if there's any other way, I am all ears right now. Nevertheless, not my will. Jesus recognized that he'd like to hear his own voice right now. He'd like his own way. He'd like to command, since God loves him, he'd like to command the stones to be bread and do it his way. Jesus read, not my will, your will be done. Jesus on the cross, why can't I hear your voice anymore? And yet, he finishes by saying to his Father, it is finished, and into your hands I trust my spirit. Wow. Best day. Best day. That's why we're going to do communion in a moment. Because if you don't know anything else God has said, pay attention to the cross. Because what he said there, he has not changed one little bit about how he feels about you. I'm not sure God loves me. What I've gone through, I'm telling you, look at the cross. This is what he is saying to you today. He loves you. He is with you. He is for you. But Pastor Sean, he hasn't said anything. This hasn't showed up. I don't have any bread. I've been hungry for a really long time. I'm telling you, this is your word. This is how he feels about you. He is going to take what seems to be death and turn it into life. And your best day is going to be when you believe it, regardless of if he speaks it out loud or not. Best day. God wants to speak to you. Some of you in this room, you know religion. I don't know. You only know whether you know Jesus or not. This is your day. God's ready to speak. He's ready to give you a big day on that one. Find freedom. You heard quickly in the family news that small groups are now online, cornerstone.ag. You can start looking at the groups. You're like, oh, that's nice. Time and time again in the Bible, when God wants to bring healing, he brings you to God's people to work out something together. Don't hide. Don't isolate. See what God would say about finding freedom. Don't be afraid. Discover purpose. Man, some of us, our goal in Christianity is not to be bad. And God's saying, man, I got so much more for you than that. How about asking me to talk to you about the dreams I built in you? I've got purpose for your life. You mean a lot. Well, I'm this age. You're already this. Doesn't change anything. Talk to me about it. Take a step. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things you have not known. So in this moment, ushers, if you'd come forward and begin to distribute the elements, we are going to remember and listen to the one thing Jesus said to the entire world in the middle of history. The cross says, I love you, I forgive you, you can have a new life in me, and you don't have to wait.